And we are very very happy that this this course was realized actually this year. I've been longing so much that the church would understand the role of evangelism, or just giving the good news to other people, because it's important that you are present in the moment and with the full attention to the needs of the people, and then to give them the good news that they can understand. So it's a level that we need to understand how you can transform your own feelings, your own beings, and transfer it in a peaceful way with full respect to the other human being, with the full respect to the freedom of this other person, that God himself is respecting the freedom of a person, and just manipulate his or her curiosity to understand and trying to know more. I think most of the time when I think of evangelism, I would think of a story that people would I know that people can laugh with me about it. You know, this is story of Shahrazad. She's a great evangelist. I think so. She was able to get the attention of the king, who was ready to kill her, to consume her. He was ready to consume her, and after consuming her, he's ready to kill her. And she was so much present in the moment, and she was able to deal with the situation where she is, and then transfer some of her knowledge, some of her being, and were able to manipulate this curiosity stuff inside this other person, so he was ready to tell her, okay, come on, more, I want to listen more, I want to hear more about what you say, tell us more. Most of the time, unfortunately, our target would become, I want you to know, and that blocks the way. So here I just wanted to tell you that one of the most important thing that we are so sensible to understand and preserve the freedom of the person, but to challenge the other person to be able to choose, challenge this other person to want to know more. And to want to know more meaning that I have to be really present in what I'm saying and feel what I'm saying, and not only just having some verses that I would remember or some stories that I would just put together and then the other person supposed to listen. And if they are not listening to me, then they are bad because they didn't listen to the word of God. And of course, this is not the way. So it's strange that I started to put Shahrazad as one of the great evangelists. I mean, style. She was not preaching Christ, but she had a style of an evangelist who was able to bring the attention of the other person. And I think we are... most of us, either we are afraid of those people that they are ready to consume us or ready to kill us. Put yourself in the situation of this woman. She's brought to the king just to consume her, use her, and then kill her. Add the rest that he did. How many of us are able to transfer the situation and transform the situation and challenge the other person to wait and ask you, tell me more. If you are able to succeed and do this, then you are successful. I just wanted to put this extreme example for you, then I will go into the Bible then, just to open your mind a little bit and see how you feel about it. And let's walk with Jesus a little bit and see his presence in his way of evangelism, because we don't want to go to the evangelist the style that people rejected. You see, sometimes when you are talking to some people, Westerners or even people from the Middle East, and you talk about evangelism, then you're blacklisted, you're rejected, simply because you are talking about evangelism. Because the style of evangelism that was used was not actually what should be done. Because taking away the freedom of people is not Christ-like. And at the same time, looking down to people is not Christ-like. So here, when we walk with Jesus a little bit by bit and see how you want to perceive this. One of the best story I always love, I always wanted to go with him and sat by the well with the Samaritan woman. And I wanted us to know what kind of style of evangelism that Jesus did with the Samaritan woman. I always love this. I even, when we started at Anaphora in the beginning, I had a small well, and we used to call it the Samaritan woman well. There is Samaria. I love this area because I felt it's an example of respect, acceptance, and openness for freedom. But at the same time, Jesus was telling her things and manipulating a little bit in her own mind to let her ask him, what about, tell me more. And if you see, there is a beautiful balance that we need to understand here. If we take two different directions. So, if you go one would be conservatism, and then the other extreme will be liberalism. And both will just go against each other. And you can also put instead of conservatism, you could say pastoral care, and the other way could be evangelism, and they could go against each other as well. And both of these forces, because it's two different directions. And in the case of the what Jesus did with the Samaritan woman, I would rather put evangelism here and pastoral care, because Jesus wanted to reach out for this woman. But at the same time, if these two forces were always be together against each other, we can't reach to anything, because the direction, the faces are in a different direction. But Jesus did something very beautiful. He created a new dimension, just forming a cross. Then we have openness and rigidity. And if you see with this picture, you are having now four groups. One group would be conservatism and openness in this group. So the first group would be people who are conservative, meaning that they have roots, but at the same time they are open. It's a group of people. They are Christ-like. Jesus, with the Samaritan woman, was very clear in his identity. He is the Messiah. He is a Jew. It's clear. It's a clear identity. But at the same time, he never rejected this woman. And he opened a beautiful discussion with her. And he lifted her mind up to the prayer and the spirituality and where to pray and how to pray. And then she starts to ask him more. Tell me more. And this is the point that where openness would come. He would sit with a woman that no one would like to sit with her. He would talk with her, and he would talk spiritually with a woman that no one will dare or think that this woman would be spiritual at all. She's a woman that has been married 5 times. Normally 5 husbands. So it seemed that she was divorced 5 times. But then she got fed of all of men. And she thought that men who are marrying her, they only use her. And that ended up that she will live with anyone. Just a man. And that means that in the society, she will be rejected. But Jesus was able to be there for her. Present. I feel you. And I feel where you are. And I can see that you are a spiritual woman. And I am able to discuss with you spiritually. No one told me this before. Can you hear this inner soul of this woman that she's crying and screaming of joy? No one told me like that before. No one respected me before. No one even saw this in me. And this is the openness that Jesus created. But at the same time, he told her clearly, salvation is from the Jews, and I am the Messiah. And it's clear. And this is what we need to create with people. When you are present in the moment, present with the feelings of the people, present in the situation, present in how the others are seeing themselves, and out of this you will create, you will manipulate the feelings. Tell me more. And this is something that I see that people who are going to work with reaching out, presenting the Word of God to other people, they need to have this skill. And the first of all, it's not coming from reading books or only taking 1, 2, 3 steps, but it's a being, and the being that has been transformed inside the person to be the image of God. And then you're just walking, and whenever you are, wherever you are, you're walking, and you are a good example for people, and people will come and ask you more. So the example of the Good Samaritan here, the example of this Samaritan woman, and the balance between the roots and the openness that we need to preserve. But if you see the other dimension here, it will be created with openness and liberalism. This is a group of people that they would come and say everything is okay. It's openness and liberalism. You will find a lot of activities, find a lot of movements, because it's free, it's It's all directions. Everything is accepted. Everything is in different directions. And you could see a lot of activities in this group, but no direction, no clear direction. Because if someone is going this way, it's okay. The other will go the other way, and it's okay. So people will just have a big activities, big movements, but never one clear direction. But the other one with the roots, conservatives, and openness, this will create a direction, a one direction. That's why it will become more of a direction, more of fruits, more of clear vision for people. If you go to the one that's carried the rigidity, whether it is rigidity and conservatives, and you can see it will become death. It will create a direction, but it will create a direction of death. Because you are conservative, you are holding everything, you are keeping everything, but you are very rigid, and that means you would not reach to anyone. Then everyone will be wrong. Everyone would be standing for you that you have to do this, otherwise you're not. And this is something, of course, cannot make a good person who can present Christ. The fourth group would be created through rigidity and liberty and liberalism. And of course, this could be someone who would create something new, liberal, something that was not there, suddenly, it's no roots, nothing there, and then someone invented something new, and then he will become, or she would become, very rigid in doing it. And this is, of course, as well, you can't build your own foundations. The only foundation that was laid is Jesus Christ. And you cannot build your own foundations. We are only building on the foundation that was once laid. And this is so important that people will just see which group that they will belong to. And this is four groups. But I think the only group that we care for, or we think it would become much better, it is the first group, that they are having roots and open at the same time. You're like a tree. You have a good root, and then you can open your arms with lots of branches, and then it would come to you. You will attract lots of birds. And then you are not having any kind of worries which kind of bird it will come and take refuge in your branches. If it's an owl, or a crow, or a sparrow, or a snake, whatever comes, you are able to deal with it. If it's a Samaritan woman, or a Pharisee, you are able to deal with. And this is something that you need to create within your heart. This is something that you will be able to present to people. So first, be present as who you are, and who you are, having a clear identity of Christ-like. And you cannot do that except that you will be able to understand, to be present an example of Christ in this. The second point, if you read in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, and I think God is speaking to himself. God just is telling that human being, they went wrong. All the thoughts, all the imaginations of the human beings are evil. So God grieved in his heart, and he decided to destroy everything. Human beings, cattle, birds, And one day I stopped there and I said, God, why you're angry at the birds and the cattle? They didn't do anything wrong with you. They kept their rank. You created them like this and they kept the rank. The only human being are the ones that I agree that they did wrong, and then you can do whatever you want, but they did wrong. But why the cattle? Why the creation? It's really human beings and the relationship between human beings and God is creating an atmosphere that affects and reflects, lay a shadow on the whole creation. That's why the flood was against the whole creation. And you can see that God grieved in his heart when the best of him, the best of his creation, the human beings, his image, the one he put lots of hope in, and the one who created him and he gave him the best, it's his image, and he wanted to be his example. It's a very deep relationship. And you know, I tell you, when you have a very deep relationship with someone, and this someone is not doing good with you, you find yourself that you're going outside and you have a very bad mood, and everybody's seeing you that it's why you're sad, and you lay an atmosphere of sadness over the whole surrounding. And this is actually what happened with God, that he actually grieved in his heart, he destroyed everything, he laid the sad mood because of this relationship. There was no good news at that time. It was bad news, actually. It was sad tune. It was grief. And then here, see the incarnation. When God decided I would come and dwell in the human beings, and I will adopt them, I will give them my soul, my spirit, I will give them my image. And then what happened then? The incarnation at the nativity is not only human being rejoiced. The good news here came through the presence of God within. He was incarnated in us. That means that the stars, the creation, was happy. So they sent a star to share in this celebration. And then the angels was rejoicing. Yes, of course, multitudes of angels. Glory be to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. It's beautiful praise. But the cattle that was destroyed once, he was never forgotten. Come, I will be born amongst you. Then the cattle, the sheep, the birds were rejoicing with Christ. And that means the good news came through the presence, the dwelling of Christ in us. And that means you will never be able to get the good news to people without this. You can send sad tune and grieve to people, or you can send good news to people. And this is not by your words. You can send the good news or the bad news through your being. I don't want any of us to be in a situation where God will grieve because of the presence of a human being in a situation that he will make the image of God, or the thoughts of a human being looks to God evil. This is not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to send the good news by our being And at the same time, the good news that God wants us to say, God loves the whole world. And that's an important message that we are able to present to people. Are we sending good news to people around us? Or are we sending condemnations to people around us? People would not come to Christ through condemnations. People will come to Christ through love. And this is something that you need to be ready to present. Imagine if Christ will condemn the Samaritan woman. What would happen? Maybe she will react in a different way. But the good news that he brought to her, it's his being. I can see that you are a prophet. I can see that you can prophesy for me. And I tell you, we can prophesy for every situation that we meet in, from our own being, from our own self. If I will decide and say, yes, I want to meet these people with open face, with an open mind, and I want to meet with these people with great joy, I would not condemn them, but I will just lift them up. That's an important thing. And I see that they can receive you. The third point here I want to say to you, and the last I would not talk more, it's not our responsibility to change people. The change comes through the Holy Spirit. Our responsibility is to present the Christ inside me in a joyful way to the other people, knowing that every person has in his life or her life steps. We are all in different steps. If we see like Christ, he is here, and every person has a step towards Christ. And this is an important point that we need to see. Maybe I meet someone today, but I can present Christ to this person. There is a seed that was dropped there. You never know when this seed will give fruits. This is not my responsibility. I am not the one who gives the power of growth to the seeds, but I am the one who can put the seeds. I am the one who is able to water it, but I am not the one who can give it the power of growth. And that's why we need to see our role, and not to put on ourselves the role of God. The role of God is something different than ours. So here, I meet someone, and this person somewhere, I put a seed, and maybe I leave, and I would never see this person again. And then another person would come, put another thing. But this person, he moved one step forward. You may come and meet people who came to Christ and study their cases, and you could see lots of people share together in making these steps little by little forward, but not one person who would be able to change another person. So I want you to just take away from your mind that you are able to change people. You're not able to change people. You are able to present Christ to people. And then the Holy Spirit will work on, change the people. But if I don't do it, I would never be able to allow the Holy Spirit to work with me, because I'm not doing it. And this is something that we are all need to understand, that people have different steps. And I am not going to push them. I'm not going to change them. I'm only giving them a little bit of step forward, carry them, take the hand of another person, encourage them, and then the best way is to create this curiosity and let them ask questions. And the best way that you ask a question to make them think of another question. So I remember one of the best retreats we did together with some group. We said that you need to write questions. You're not going to write a report. You write a question, a good question. And a good question is something really valuable. Then you understand how to make people think. And just by making them think, that means that you are pushing them forward. Take another step. And they will make the open heart to change their own being in the spirit. And then only I am a steward, just preparing a good meal. And then the good meal, then people are encouraged. You know, the best evangelists are the good cooks. When they make a very good meal and with a nice smell and with the nice decorations and make people like really have a good appetite to eat. And it's not just giving someone a sandwich and say, okay, eat this, this is good for you, you have to eat it. Okay, nobody would want to listen to this. You have to, you should. Everyone, when we listen to this, you should, you shouldn't, you have to, then I always feel like, I don't want that. And this, we need to understand, in the Christian world, in the Christian story, there was a lot of shoulds and shouldn'ts. And people are now in, whether in the West or in places that they have never been Christianized, they have very, very strong disinformation about Christianity. Because of history and because of the way that the Christians behave. And now, if we really want to do something good, be present in the moment with people. Feel them. Manipulate the curiosity and let them feel that you respect them and you are not going to change them, but you are only going to help them to make the change that they need. They need, not you want for them. They need it. Create the need, and when you create the need, they will ask you to help them. And when you are there for them to help, then you are a good evangelist. So this is just a small thoughts. I know that you have been studying the whole issue for a few months now, and maybe some of this issue has been repeated. But it's good to remind ourselves of how we can do it. So I stop here and maybe have some questions if you wanted. Thank you.
Thank you, Sayedna. Any questions to Sayedna? Yes, Henny, go please.
You can... It's very easy, of course. We can evaluate the work, because when you plant something and you water it, if you plant good seeds in good soil, then you would see the fruits. But here, with the concept that you are not able to say that I have to change this person. And number two, that we are not dealing with entities that has no will. We are dealing with human beings, and these human beings, they are not flocks that I could just move them wherever I want. They are human beings, and these human beings has the will, And this is an important thing, that only encouragement would make the people to come to the results. Here I remember a story. It's in the Bible, actually. I see that Barnabas is a great evangelist, actually. Although we didn't talk much with the story of Barnabas, but the story is that he was able to lift up people. He was able to empower people, and with the empowerment of people that he did, especially with Saul, Paul later, you can imagine with me the story, with the feelings of the story, when the Lord appeared to Saul, and all this beautiful story that the Lord appeared to him, and he got blind, to whom the Lord sent Saul, to Ananias, not to Barnabas, to Ananias. And then what he did, he prayed for Saul, and his eyes was opened, and that's it. We didn't hear much. Then Saul wanted to come closer to the apostles. They rejected him. They told him no. They were afraid of him. And imagine you in the place of Saul. You have seen the Lord. He did a great miracle with you. You heard him. You have this experience. You went to Ananias. He prayed for you. Your eyes is open. You are full of energy. You are full of great thoughts. And you are full of enthusiasm that you want no more. And the people around you are afraid. And then here, we needed someone who can take this person and lift him up. And then he planted a good seed. And he never knew at that time that Saul would become the greatest evangelist in the whole history of Christianity. And that's because of Barnabas. He was putting the small seeds. You know, we are not the one who evaluate what will happen to people, but I could put the seeds wherever I'm going, and at least one seed will be successful. And maybe this one seed will bring much more than I imagine or than I can do. St. Paul did much more than Barnabas did. It's a big story, it's a big difference. But without Barnabas, Saul would have never become the way he is. So let us just put seeds, and then the evaluations, the results will be to God. Other questions?
I have a question, as usual, concerning the four patterns Sayyidina was saying about the openness and conservative and rigidity and liberalism. We are supposed to be on the openness with the conservative, right?
Yes.
Which we may call like orthodox preaching or orthodox evangelism. I think I myself have a little problem with this. How can I be very much open and flexible to the people around, and I can accept the major differences between me and them in the history, in the culture, in the language, in whatever, and still I'm conservative with my faith? Sometimes I don't see the lines, the sharp lines between the two. I believe in what you said, Sayyidina, no, I have to be conservative with my faith, with my orthodox belief, but I should be open to the others so I can gain them. I can help them to be transformed. But I have some problem with this.
I always put this in the concept that like Saint Peter said, that we were given to be partaker of the nature of God. We are given to be partaker of the nature of God. And then here there is a big difference between to be partaker in the nature of God, meaning the theologia, theology, that the nature of God becomes like, this is the theology, this is the DNA, this is the identity, the essence. And of course this is, we are not, we cannot. But the other part of it, that we are partaker in the of, we are partaker of the economia, economy. The word economia comes from the Greek word economy, economia. Economia, this is when someone plan something and do something. And so we are partaker of the economia, of the nature of God. It's two different things. Now when I come here to myself and I will become conservative, this is who am I, this is my roots, this is my being, this is my identity. But then I have to share, to open up my economia, my plans, my thoughts, my feelings, to the international, to the cosmos, to the whole cosmos. Meaning that I would understand the vision of God in my nature, that I want to share this vision with others. And that means sharing the vision with other people and reflect this vision in whatever medium they have. And that means that I am able to share and be with different kinds of people the way they are. This is what St. Paul talked about. I became Jews to the Jews, and Roman to the Roman, and Greek to the Greeks, and a slave to the slaves. He became, not in his identity, but in his way of sharing in the economia. Economia means tadbir. Tadbir is planning, organizing things together. And this is something that's so important, it to differentiate between the two. In my own being, I have to respect my being, my identity, the gifts that I was giving, being the Son of God, being the image of Christ, being a partaker of the nature of God, being an inherit for the kingdom of God, being who I am. And then I can express my respect and acceptance to the others, but put my image in there. You are a light. Imagine if this light will go in under the water. It would give different perspective, because it's another medium, but it's the same light. If you put the same light in a dark room with a color, with a red color, this light would reflect different, because the medium that is there, it reflects the medium as that is the same light. If you put it in a very white room, it would give another light. It gives different, but it's the same. So here we need to respect our being, who we are, but at the same time we need to be open to the cosmos, not only human beings, but I tell you, the whole cosmos with its different natures will rejoice by the great being, the dwelling of Christ in you. So wherever you walk, you express the joy that God wants everyone to feel. So it's different stories here. We are not supposed to accept the tolerance by taking part of me away to meet the others. I am who I am, and I will not change my color to meet another person. My color will stay my color, and I would have to respect my color and be proud of my color, even if I would go to another color. This is the difference here.
Thank you, Sayyidina.